Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am the tech editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. And sitting across from me, as he always does, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
And I would like to rock and roll all night and party every day.
Well, and you can.
Thank you. Let's start off with a little listener mail. This little listener mail comes from Charlie. Hey, Charlie. Sorry, had a little unicorn moment there. It says,
okay.
You haven't seen that video?
No.
All right, Charlie the Unicorn. We're watching it after this episode.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I'm a big fan and longtime listener. I've been noticing a lot of musicians have been using something known as auto-tune more prominently than ever lately. How does this work? Is this a new technology? Keep up the great work.
Charlie.
So, auto-tune has been around for a while, as it turns out, and another podcast covered this briefly.
And it wasn't high-speed stuff,
no.
Although they do talk about autos and tuning.
No, it was stuff from the B-sides, which had an episode about auto-tuning, but we were going to cover it as well. So auto-tuning is also known as pitch correction.
Yes.
It's when it's being able to digitally nudge a person's voice so it's closer to being on pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the good old days, and by the good old days, I mean the old
before
days.
Before 1996?
Yeah. In the old days, what you would do is you get a group of musicians in the studio and you would start recording tracks. And whenever the lead vocalist would flub a note, you would just make a mark of that and you would do another take. And you'd do another take. And you'd do another take. And even for the ones that sounded good all the way through, you would do extra takes. And then you would cobble together the best sounding song from those multiple takes using actual editing procedures.
Yes. Speaking as someone who's gone through this process, I can tell you it's not nearly as much fun as it sounds. And it doesn't really sound like all that much fun. And before digital techniques, we're talking about things like splicing sections of tape together with, a razor blade and splicing material, trying to get it so that you have one long continuous take that is in tune.
Right. And you have to be very careful to make sure it's all matched up just right so that you can't detect the break.
Yes. Painstaking, painstaking work.
And before that, you're pretty much just stuck with whatever you got.
Ding.
Like if you were recording, especially on something like, say, I don't know, a wax cylinder, it didn't matter if you flubbed it. That was how that was going to go out, warts and all.
Oh, yeah.
But as we began to get better at editing music, our standards started to go up, and we began to refuse to listen to music that seemed to have some flaws in it. The fewer the flaws, the better, in our opinion, in general. There's still people out there who prefer the more genuine music, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into that argument because there are those people who love the super produced stuff, and there are the people who love the stripped down stuff. And I don't think anyone is wrong. It's all a matter of personal opinion.
I agree.
At any rate, so editing, that was the only way you could really get rid of a flubbed note. But then a fellow by the name of Harold Hildebrand, better known as Andy to his buddies, came up with a special kind of software.
Yes, this is, believe it or not, the oil industry's contribution to music.
That is not a joke. It really is. Mr. Hildebrand, as it turns out, before he got into the world of making musicians sound better than they really do, was a geophysicist. He created seismic data processing software. And this was software that would sort of measure the seismic vibrations for oil companies to kind of get an idea of where the best oil deposits were, whether or not there were any oil deposits, that kind of thing.
Yes, it's called autocorrelation. Basically, once the sound goes into the ground, the reflections based on the material that is made up and, you know, in the area that they're using the sound, give them an idea of what the composition of the earth is underneath their feet, essentially, and can tell them where pockets of oil are stored, so it gives them a good idea of where to drill. And he, Andy Hildebrand, made a lot of money, a whole lot of money. He retired at 40.
Yeah, and clearly the next step for anyone who creates that kind of software is finding a way to get people to sing better.
Well, the way I heard it, a friend challenged him, said, okay, fine, you're so smart, you're looking for something to do, why don't you fix it so I can sing better? And so he did.
Yeah. So this is using a method called digital signal processing.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea here is that every sound that you hear is really due to vibrations. Everything.
Yes.
Every sound is something vibrating against something else. And then eventually it becomes air molecules vibrating against one another. And then the vibrations hit your ear and your brain manages to translate this into sound.
Mm-hmm.
What we perceive as sound.
Yes.
So the notes that we hear are vibrations at particular frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, the higher the frequency, actually not in general, the higher the frequency, the higher the sound, the pitch in the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So let's see if I can find the information. I actually wrote down what the different divisions were. I think 440 vibrations per second is an A note.
That is correct.
So that's your basic A.
Yep.
So your basic A is 440 vibrations per second. Now, I'm sitting here with a musician, so I expect you to correct me whenever and I get things wrong.
Well, I had a tuning fork, but I had forgotten we were doing this today, so I left it at home.
Oh, that's a shame. That would have been kind of cool.
It is an A.
All right. So 440 is an A. And then you can if you increase that the vibrations per second, you then the notes go up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually – let's say 492 vibrations per second would be a B note. 587 vibrations per second or thereabouts would be a C note, which is not $100. Shaving a haircut. All right. So,
yeah, that's about $100 these days.
Yeah. Well,
anyhow,
never mind. I can't tell. I was commentary. About to out one of our coworkers who did recently spend more than $100 on a haircut.
Oh, okay.
But I will not do that. Because this person will kill me.
Anyway.
At any rate, so yes, the vibrations determine what the note is. And so let's say that you're trying to sing an A note. Now, if you're trying to sing an A note, what's happening is your vocal cords are vibrating to generate this, and that's what's generating the sound, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Most of us are not capable of holding an A note perfectly for any extended time. I mean, it's going to wander a little bit.
Yes, I tend to sing a little sharp, to be honest.
Yeah, I tend to sing in a different key. But at any rate, sometimes my wife prefers it if I sing in a different state.
Yeah.
But if you visualize each note with a line going to the right, so let's say, you know, you have A, B, C, you know, and you have the lines right to the right, mm-hmm. And you think of the person singing, it tends to look kind of like a sine wave. I mean, it usually tends to hover around the note, unless the person's a terrible singer, in which case it may not be anywhere close to the note they're supposed to be singing.
Generally, if you can, never mind. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's say I'm trying to sing an A, but mm-hmm. I have terrible pitch and I'm tone deaf and I'm actually singing what is closer to a B.
Well, I would argue even that someone who is a really good singer is going to waver in pitch somewhat because the vibration of your vocal cords depends a lot on how much air you're putting in, and if you are running out of breath,
yeah, it tends to peter out.
The pitch of your voice is going to change,
right?
So I mean, even the best singers are going to have this problem.
So what Hildebrand did was he decided to create some software that could nudge these variations around a note, or sometimes, you know, hitting the wrong note entirely, and put them where they're supposed to be. So kind of smoothing out the peaks and valleys across the line so to make it a more consistent note.
Yeah.
Or to even shift it up or down the scale so that it hits the note it's supposed to be on. Now, you can only do this a little bit within a couple of notes of where you're supposed to be.
Right.
Without it sounding artificial.
Right. And there's a lot of other little factors in there because the auto-tune software gives you some control over how quickly the pitch shifts up. But you can actually set the range, the key that you're supposed to be singing in.
Yeah.
So it has some idea of what you're trying to do. So
yeah, you can have it auto-detect. Like if you put it on auto-detect, essentially what the software does is it assumes whatever note you're singing closest to is the note you wanted to sing.
Yes.
So if you are at least a decent singer, the auto function of auto-tune should get you pretty much where you wanted to be in the first place, even if you were, you know, a little off. Mm-hmm. You can also do it manually, however. So let's say that someone has hit just really misjudged it. They're singing mm-hmm. the national anthem, and when they get to the land, you know, the land of the free, and they hit that high note, it's just way off. Well, then you might need to manually put it closer to the note it's supposed to be on, so right. It doesn't sound terrible, right?
It doesn't work so well live.
Well, it can.
Not with the manual.
No, live it's auto.
But one of the things that impressed me about the auto-tune software is that it can be used live.
Yeah, it can be used in real time. Now, granted, that's when it's using the automatic feature, not the manual feature.
Right, as
you were pointing out, you are correct.
Yeah. Oops.
Otherwise, you would have like the highest paid sound engineer on the planet, like rapidly switching the pitch. So, the software has this very complex algorithm, and the cool thing is it can adjust the pitch without really affecting the tone of the voice. Now, this is a lot different from the old way of changing the pitch, which was just essentially playing it faster than you had before.
Oh, you're thinking like those three rodents of recent movie fame?
The chipmunks?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to give Liz a little challenge here.
We're going to speak in our normal tone of voice.
Okay.
But we're going to do so slowly so that Liz can speed it up later.
That sounds fun. See, now yours is going to be staccato because you're speaking very short bursts. Okay.
Anyway, so by speeding that up, Liz could adjust the pitch of our voices. But of course, that means that, you know, the whole tone sounds different and it's going much faster than before. The neat thing about auto-tune is it doesn't adjust the speed of the voice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really affect the tone that much unless, again, you're trying to push it much further up or down the scale than where it originally started.
Right.
So it makes it sound more natural. Now, this method has been in use for years to just kind of tweak notes here and there. It wasn't really used as kind of an artistic thing until more recently.
Yes.
Actually, I'll never forget the first time I heard Cher's Believe.
Yes.
And I thought, could anyone make a more annoying song than that? Turns out yes, because I had not heard Peanut Butter Jelly Time at that point.
Peanut Butter Jelly with a baseball bat.
Yes, but in the case with Cher, she actually took a feature of the auto-tune software that was never really intended to be used as a performance thing and turned it into a performance. And you remember when you were talking about how you adjust the speed when the pitch changes?
Mm-hmm.
She essentially switched that to zero.
Yes, there's a range that the software has between zero and 400 milliseconds, which is four-tenths of a second, essentially.
Right.
And you have the option that's how long it takes for the pitch to shift to what it thinks it's supposed to be.
Right. And you may think, well, why would you want to set that at 400? It makes it create a more natural sound. Yeah. Because we don't tend to sing notes, perfect notes, one right after the other, especially jumping around a lot, unless you're talking about like an aria by Mozart, and in which case, I mean, those are amazing. But most of us can't sing those.
Right.
Most of us, when we sing, we tend to slide a little bit from one note to the next. And if you take that sliding out, it suddenly sounds robotic and unnatural. Mm-hmm. But if you're Cher and you're creating this song Believe, that turns out to be the effect you wanted to go for in the first place. So you turn this thing that would normally be considered a total mistake. You wouldn't want it to be in there because you wouldn't want people to detect that you had electronically altered your voice and turned it into a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up working out very well for her and got a lot of radio play and slowly made me go crazy.
Yeah.
And of course, then you had...
I wondered what did that. Now I know.
Yeah. Well, that was definitely a contributing factor. I can't lay all the blame at Cher's feet.
No, but that explains why her voice sounds like it is snapping from pitch to pitch.
Yeah.
Without any kind of glissando, without any kind of, break.
Glissando.
Glissando.
Music theory coming in here.
Sort of. So, on the other hand, there are artists who have essentially made their living off of this. That would be, T-Pain.
Yes, who not only made several songs featuring autotune, but also was the name behind the iPhone feature that allows people to download the app, the T-Pain app, and do live autotuning of their own voices.
Mm-hmm. And he's unapologetic about using the software.
It's a performance. It's like any other tool. Now some people even argue that anyone using autotune is cheating.
Yeah, and that's what some of the detractors say.
Yeah,
but what he's doing with it is on purpose
he's
to make it sound that
piece.
Way.
Yeah,
so it's like, no, this is my,
Yeah, I intended to do that.
Exactly.
That was the whole purpose of it, which I think that's totally legitimate.
Yep.
I mean, it's just like taking a musical instrument and playing it in a way different than the way it was originally intended.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make it invalid. It just means that you're innovative, right? So same thing. I mean, just like Cher, I think, was truly innovative with that, the way she used autotune. I may hate the song, but I can't argue with the fact that it was innovative.
I could have done without the 750 or so songs that I've heard since then that are all using autotune in
right.
that way.
It is no longer innovative. It's just a different way of performing. And they think of it as cheating. Now, granted, lots of artists have been using this. A lot of producers have been using this.
Oh, yes.
It's very possible that some artists don't even know it was used on their particular records.
They probably do because suddenly they aren't having to do a lot of retakes and overdubs. They're doing, one or two takes per song and then heading for home.
And
it cuts down on the amount of studio time that you need to spend, and that's expensive.
And Hildebrand points out that autotune does not make you a great singer. Autotune can help correct pitch. It can help you sing on pitch, and it will help you sing the right notes. But if your vocal tone is not a good, pleasing vocal tone, such as mine, my singing tone is pretty terrible. Even with autotune, my singing's not going to be great. It's just going to be the right notes, which, granted, is an improvement. But it's not going to be something you're going to think, hey, this is who I want to be listening to on that 5-hour flight that I got coming up.
Can you auto-tune karaoke?
Yeah, why not? You could have a microphone built in with the auto-tune, and you could have it automatically auto-tune your vocals.
That's got to be cheating, though. I mean, considered cheating.
Yeah, well, considering some of the people I've heard sing karaoke, I'd be willing to entertain some cheating. And I know the people who have heard me sing karaoke would entertain some cheating. And we were actually thinking at one point of having Liz auto-tune some of us.
Oh, yeah.
Bits of what we were doing here.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I'm surprised we haven't mentioned other phenomena that have used auto-tune, not just in the music industry.
Oh, you mean like auto-tune the news?
Yes.
Yeah, there's this great YouTube series where these guys have taken news clips from usually it's about a week-long period. Mm-hmm. But they take big news clips and then they put it through auto-tune and turn them into songs. And they cut the news clips up so that it makes it
It makes it work.
Yeah. Yeah, so that you get phrases and things, and sometimes they'll have someone repeat something 5 or 6 times to make it more like a song. They are absolutely hysterical videos. There's also, I've seen the auto-tuning of the baby crying.
Oh, yeah.
The baby's crying, but they put it through auto-tune. And here's the thing is that auto-tune, it is a software suite that you can purchase, but you can download a demo version and try it out for a while on your computer. It's only going to last for a trial period, and then you're going to be prompted to purchase it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the app on the iPhone that you can get.
That's considerably cheaper at $2.99.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you can play around with this stuff and kind of see, how it is that the big names are able to get that really great produced sound on their tracks.
I would never have expected this to come from a geologic technology.
No, I had really my money on astrophysics, but not geophysics.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe quantum physics. Maybe.
That's funny because technically it's called pitch quantization.
Yeah, I read through kind of when asked exactly what sort of things go into his calculations, Hildebrand said, and this is a direct quote, multiplications, additions, and a few divisions, but designed by an extensive theoretical foundation in digital signal processing encompassing the physical principles of sound production, physics of hearing, disciplines of modeling, filtering, linear systems theory, estimation theory, numerical analysis, calculus, music theory, and other disciplines, pretty much.
Including the pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much. It's right there. It's right there. Yeah, no, that was a direct quote. That was in a frequently asked questions section.
Yeah, he actually seems to be a sort of a humorous kind of guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
No, he does. Well, I mean, you have to after it. And he specifically stated that he had never intended anyone to use it in the way that T-Pain and Cher have used it and numerous other people at this point.
However,
it was always meant to be kind of a behind the scenes, way of just tweaking a track rather than an outright, the cat is out of the bag kind of thing. Yeah.
I do think this has led to the rise of music that is maybe just a little bit too perfect for some people. Though speaking of the people who are, remember how we were saying some people really like lo-fi, some people really like hi-fi.
Right.
I've had people say that song is just too perfect for me.
Well, they could always listen to me sing, and they'll be cured of that right away.
Amen.
So do you have anything else to add for our discussion on auto-tuning?
Not really. It's just kind of it's kind of funny. It's pretty much baked into most studios at this point that they have it there. But, it's pretty ubiquitous at this point.
Right. So here's where I'm going to throw it out there.
Okay.
And Liz, I'm going to apologize to you because you're going to have to hear this unfiltered. In fact, if you want to play it unfiltered once and auto-tuned once, just to let people know how horribly I sing, go for it. All right, guys. This song, by the way, has been in the public domain for about 500 years, so I don't want to hear anything from you guys.
Oy vey. You know, you should have warned me.
Other than
just now.
Would you like to step out of the room? Alas, my love, you do me wrong to cast me off discourteously. Alas, my love, you do me wrong to cast me off discourteously. There we go. That's all I'm going to do.
Wow.
I don't want to hit you too hard. That's bad enough right there. I could have done, no, never mind. That's copyright. So yeah, that was written, by the way, by Henry VIII, by the grace of God, King of England and France, Lord Defender of the Faith and Lord of all Ireland. Deceased.
Yes. For quite some time.
So anyway, hopefully
that's
Liz,
better than singing I'm Henry VIII, I am.
Right. Hopefully Liz will be able to auto-tune that. And if not, hopefully she'll be able to cut that out. All right. So that wraps this up on auto-tune. I hope that answers your question, Charlie. And now that leads us to our second round of listener mail. This listener mail comes from Nathan, and Nathan says, "Hi guys, I was just wondering if you or anyone at your organization listens back to your podcast and can hear what sounds to me like an air conditioning hum in the background. Would it be possible to edit that out? Look forward to hearing back from you. Cheers, Nathan." Nathan, that could be one of many things. It could be a fan. It might even be the fan in my laptop because, I need that so that my computer does not overheat and shut down.
And there's a refrigerator in the hallway.
There is an air conditioning system. And here's the thing. We're dying in here. It is so hot in here. Please don't take our air conditioning away. And if I asked Liz to try and edit that out, I think that would drive her crazy. So unfortunately, I think we're kind of stuck with what we have we're renovating our studio space. Who knows what's going to sound like when we're done?
You know, it only hums because it doesn't know the words.
Very good, Chris. That is exactly right. So if you have any other questions, comments, you'd like to criticize Chris for his joke, you can write us techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Check out our blogs, blogs.howstuffworks.com. Check out the website itself, howstuffworks.com, because it's awesome.
It is.
It's a great website. It's a great resource. Remember, we are no longer doing Tech Stuff Live while we are renovating our studio space. So that's going to last for probably about 6 weeks. And then we're going to think about what we can do with that video series when we get back, because we're going to have a little bit more flexibility than we did before. So if any of you have any cool ideas of what you would like to see in a video series from Tech Stuff, like for instance, you would say, "I would love for the video series of Tech Stuff to have the Stuff You Should Know guys in it," write us at techstuff@howstuffworks.com, and Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new Tech Stuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.